صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيد الممجد، بشير المصدق، المصطفى الأمجد، محمود الأحمد، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعن الله على الظالمين من الأولين والآخرين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسول الكريم. Awaited Savior of Humanity, Imam al-Hujjah, my respected elders, brothers and sisters, salamun alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our series is focusing on the commentary of Ziyarat al-Waritha, the adorative visitation and recitation that we may address the master of the martyrs, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahu salamuhu alayhi. And last night we began our series by introducing why we want to discuss the commentary of Ziyarat al-Waritha. We stated that we recite this ziyarah so regularly, and therefore it requires us to have a deeper cognizance, understanding of what we're reciting, so that as we're giving salutation to the Imam, we feel that he is responding back to us. We also stated that through this ziyarah, we are able to demonstrate the universality of Imam alayhi salatu wassalam and the entire Husseini movement on the 10th of Muharram. Meaning that because Imam alayhi salatu wassalam is described as the inheritor of these prophets, not the literal inheritor through lineage, but inheritor by virtue of mission, if we truly understand the mission of Adam alayhi salam, the mission of Nuh alayhi salam, the mission of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so on and so forth, we will truly be able to understand the mission of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. Thus, when we sit with our colleagues, non-Shia, when we sit with our colleagues, our Christian, Jewish, and Hindu friends around the world, we're able to demonstrate not just Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam as a name to them, but because so many of them subscribe to the prophetic missions, if we can demonstrate the parallel of the mission between those prophets and the event of 10th of Muharram, thus we'll be able to demonstrate the universality of Aba Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam, inshallah, making the 10th of Muharram a movement for every faith, every sect, every color, and every denomination around the world, as the movement was supposed to be. We stated that the Imam is the inheritor of the prophets in a general sense and in a specific sense. In the general sense, last night we mentioned that the mission statement of Imam alayhi salatu wassalam is Islah fi ummati jaddi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Meaning that the sole reason for the 10th of Muharram and all of the events that took place was reformation within the community. And thus, just as each prophet's mission was reformation, our mission through the events of the 10th of Muharram must also be reformation. My heart must reform myself. My family must reform myself. My community must reform itself. Otherwise, the 10th of Muharram lives and dies on the pulpit, but does not live within the hearts of the individuals who are sitting in audience of the 10th of Muharram. And thus, we stated that reformation is something that all of us need to obtain. And no matter what age, no matter what level of religiosity and God-centric nature, righteousness we have achieved in our life, all of us must continue to reform ourselves year after year in order to be within that Husseini movement, in order to manifest it within our hearts. And thus, this evening, we now come to the next stage of our commentary of Ziyarat al-Waritha. And of course, Ziyarat al-Waritha is one of the many a'mal that we perform on Thursday nights. And therefore, again, before we can go into the ziyarat itself, it is required for us to understand the spiritual authority and purpose behind Thursday nights. Thursday night, of course, is the most spiritual night of the week. And thus, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ordain it as being the spiritual peak of the week, and for us to have this particular amal of Ziyarat al-Waritha on this night, we must understand what we are doing on a Thursday night, why we are doing this on a Thursday night, and most importantly, how to obtain the most benefit from Thursday night. Thursday night is a unique night within the month, within the week. And thus, there are many narrations that specify that in the unseen realms, things are different on the Thursday night. Maybe it is for me that when I come to the Imam Barga, the Husayniyah, the Masjid, Thursday night is an ordinary night for me. There's no real difference except that I attend the Masjid. The reality is, in the unseen realm, in the matters with the Malaika, in regards to the Anbiya, in regards to what happens with our Marhumeen, they are not in the same state. The world of the unseen realm is in a completely different state as to what dunya is. And thus we need to appreciate what is taking place in the unseen realm. From the moment sunset comes in, do not consider Thursday night to be an ordinary night. Everything changes in the realm of spirituality. As an example, one narration comes to us from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, where he narrates that the moment the evening sets in on Thursday night, and throughout the entire night of Thursday night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designates angels to descend to the lower rankings of the heavens here on earth, in order to make an announcement, a proclamation. Now the fact that is, I may not hear this proclamation doesn't matter. The sixth Imam has stated this proclamation takes place. Whether I hear the Malaika say it or not, it doesn't matter. The hadith is there. We're going to recount it. And thus it's important that I understand what is going on in the realms of the unseen world. The angels descend, and they call out to everyone in humanity, O people, is there not anyone from amongst you who desires something from dunya and akhirah, that seek it from Allah, that by the time Thursday finishes and the sun rises on Friday morning, Allah will grant it to you? Is there not anyone who wishes something from this world or the next world? Meaning that we all have our needs, don't we, in this world. But don't forget the needs of the next world as well. You see, often when we supplicate, too often we supplicate just for the needs of this world. The primary supplications must always be the first and foremost supplication for the hasty reappearance of the awaited Savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah al-sharif. What dua could be more important than this dua? Wealth, health, family, community, it is all secondary to this dua. And thus, I should also be supplicating for my community's needs. I should be supplicating for my family. I should be supplicating for my marhumeen. I should be supplicating for a good death. You know, so much of our dua is centered around a good death and what takes place, the time of death. As an example, in Ziyarat al-Ashura, we also supplicate for a good death. Oh Allah, make my life just like the life of Ahlul Bayt. وَمَمَاتِ مَمَاتَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. And make my death like the death of Al Muhammad. So I should be supplicating for my death. I should be supplicating for the ease of my grave. I should be supplicating for what happens the day I am raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran says, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. Remember the day in which you're going to be raised with your Imam. I should be supplicating my Lord. This world, my Imam is the awaited Savior of humanity. Don't allow me to be raised on the Day of Judgment with any other Imam other than that particular Imam. Do I have any guarantee I'm going to be raised with him? I should be begging my Lord for this. Thus, the first thing the angel calls out as the sun sets on Thursday night, is there anyone who seeks from matters of dunya and akhirah by the time Thursday night finishes, that Allah may grant it for them, first. The second thing the angel calls out, is there anyone from amongst mankind that may seek forgiveness for their sins, that when Thursday night finishes and Friday morning arises, Allah has forgiven them for all their sins. Second. Third, is there anyone from mankind that will seek a betterment for their sustenance so that by the time Friday morning comes, Allah will have increased them in their rizq? Next, is there anyone, this is the malaika saying, encouraging us as Thursday night descends, is there anyone from amongst mankind who wishes to supplicate for better health because they're in a state of sickness that by the time Friday morning comes, Allah will grant them and return them back to pure health? Is there anyone who is in a prison, jailed, that Allah may be supplicated for release so that by the time Friday morning comes, Allah has granted them from their release in prison? And is there anyone in this world who is oppressed, that by the time Friday morning comes, they may supplicate and Allah may give them revenge upon that person who is going towards them? In Da'a Kumail, we recite this particular du'a as well. We say, my Lord, those people who are oppressing me, those people who seek to do wrong to me, return it back to them as well, don't we? Here the angel is asking you, is there anyone who wishes to seek freedoms from these matters so that Allah may grant you by the time Friday morning comes? And therefore Thursday night is a unique night. Amongst the things we are told, we are mentioned in hadith that the awaited Savior of humanity, our Imam, receives our book of deeds on the Thursday night and reviews them. SubhanAllah. It's an interesting thing that we begin to consciously understand that our book of deeds is given to the Imam of our time. Imagine if he was sitting with us that evening as I retire from the masjid on Thursday night, and I were to sit with him, and he was to review my book of deeds, how would I feel? How would I engage with him? How would I re-pledge my allegiance to him week after week after week? And therefore, it's not an insignificant statement. It is very purposeful that the Imam receives my book of deeds. That which I do good, he is happy with. And that which he sees is based on sin, he weeps for my book of deeds. Why does he weep? Does he weep just out of sadness? No. There are two reasons primarily as to why he weeps for the book of deeds that he receives, listed with the evil a'mal that I have performed of the week. The first one is directly associated to him, because our a'mal decides as to whether he comes or whether he is delayed. If my a'mal reaches him, and indirectly I have stopped or delayed his coming, he cries because it's another week that he is unable to bring about justice on this earth. As in, if I am the one who puts off someone in regards to deen from within my family, within the Sunni community, within the Christians, within the Jews, if I sit with an atheist and I prove to him in his mind, there's no reason for religion, because this man claims religion, but there's nothing pious about him. He engages with me in business, he steals. He engages with me in discussion, he uses foul language. He doesn't pray, he doesn't represent his faith. What difference is between me and him? I may as well not become a God-conscious person. I am the one sending people away. Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam cannot come to a community that is not ready to behold him. First reason why he weeps. Second reason why he weeps, because he is cognizant of the punishment that is available in the next world. Rasulullah went on Mi'raj. The inheritor of Mi'raj is visiting with my book of deeds. He knows what beauties are available to me. The proximity of God is available to me in this world and the next. And he knows the punishment that is available in this world and the next. Hence, he cries for these particular actions. We also hear from our books of ahadith that on certain nights, like Thursday night, our marhumin are granted availability to leave akhirah and come and visit their beloveds in this world. True? This is amongst the reason as to why we perform a'mal and we dedicate it to them on Thursday night. We recite Surah Al-Yaseen and dedicate it to them because they are coming and they are being greeted with these a'mal. According to one narration, they come in the form of beautiful birds or pigeons. Those who have done good deeds, they may be allowed out of their graves to come visit their beloved, their families on Thursday night. They come on the trees and they sit and they observe us in the night. If they have seen that we are doing good, their family members, they return back to their grave in a state of happiness and joy until the next week in which they're able to return and observe us. If, however, they see us performing deeds which are illegitimate, illicit deeds, wrong deeds, they return back to the graves in a state in which they are upset, grieved. They don't know what has happened to us until the next week when they're allowed to return and observe and watch us. Imagine now, it is your marhuma mother or your marhum father that has come to watch you on a Thursday night. Who here wants to turn their mother away in a state of grief for the whole week until the following week? Who here wants their mother and their father and their grandparents and their uncles to return back happy and joyous so that they may return the following week looking forward to observing what our a'mal has been for the week? This is why in Shahr Ramadan, in the daily dua, we say, Allahumma adkhil ala ahlil qubur as-surur. Oh Allah, instill joy in the grave of our marhumin. What joy? Is it Allah who instills joy? Or is it our deeds that Allah sends to them that instills the joy to the marhumin? It's not an empty dua. The dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding, saying, no problem, I'll accept your dua, but you have to be the one to send them something for them to be happy about. And thus, our interaction on Thursday night is evident that it's very much about us that occurs with reality of Thursday night. And thus, Thursday night is such an important night for these particular reasons, that the unseen realm begins to change, and the unseen realm has impact upon us. One of the most beautiful narrations about the impact of Thursday night is one that we need to ponder upon very greatly, very dearly. And if you take away maybe nothing else from this discussion tonight, think about this hadith when you go home, memorize it, write it down in your phones, whatever you want, and ponder upon it tonight, inshaAllah. The hadith comes to us from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he states that as the sun sets on Thursday night and brings about this evolution, this change within the realms, he who performs good deeds, the thawab is multiplied to you. And he who performs evil deeds, the punishment is multiplied manifold times. Simple hadith, not difficult for us to remember. He who performs good deeds, hasanat, the ajr is multiplied manifold. And he who performs evil deeds on Thursday night, it is multiplied manifold. Now here we need to challenge. We need to think very intellectually. And we need to raise the bar in which we teach our children as to what thawab, reward, and punishment really is. You see, for many of us, when we talk about thawab, we normally think of it in a very one-dimensional sense. We think that our malaika on our shoulders are writing down our good deeds, and thus we carry with us to the next world bags of good deeds, and they will become manifested in the grave, and they will be ready for us in Jannah, and so on and so forth. This is true. But there is a deeper philosophical, spiritual understanding to this matter that needs to be understood as we understand this beautiful narration from our Holy Prophet. If we think of it very one-dimensionally, that I am carrying with me bags of deeds and ajr and reward and thawab that will manifest itself and will be available for me to pick at and utilize in the grave, then the reality is, I am no different than those great kings and those great pharaohs who were living at the time of Egypt. You know why? Because if you remember, when we used to study ancient Egypt in school, and we used to read it in these things in the documentaries, you would see that many times these great pharaohs used to bury their things with them because they thought in the afterlife they could make use of it. Right? So they used to build with them great pyramids. So they would have wide space for them to bring with them their rewards for the next world. They would bury with them horses and carriages. They would bury with them slaves. They would bury with them all of their trinkets and all of these things in the belief system that because I carry this with me, I can utilize it in the next world. It's a very one-dimensional, mundane way of understanding the next world. The reality is, thawab is in this world as much as it is available to me in the next world. Our problem is, we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is handing out thawabs like sweets to us. And that in the next world, I'm just going to collect all of these sweets, open it up, and in the grave, make use of it and have it. It's not like this at all. What's not found here will not be found there in the next world. If I have managed to make my heart pure, of course my grave will be pure. If my heart is producing beauties and proximity to God, then of course my grave will produce beauty and proximity to God. True or not? Let me put it to you simply. We say that in the next world, in the grave inshallah, amongst those to meet us in the grave on the first night will be Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. True or not? The hadith says, he who visits me on this world after my death, I will visit him after death. True or not? Therefore, I think on the first night, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam will come visit me. It's true. But if he's not found here, how can he come and visit me there? Therefore, what thawab really is the growth process from within my own heart, my own soul. Because there's no point in saying I've got the thawab of something and it's going to be found in the next world if it hasn't produced the fruit in this world. Let me give you a proof from the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this so beautifully. And sometimes we know these verses, we repeat these verses. We need to stop and think about these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ True or not? Surely salah, the practice of salah, the purpose, the outcome of it, is to keep me away from fahsha wal munkar. It is to keep me away from indecencies and evil things, correct? Meaning that when I stand for prayer and perform my takbiratul ihram, and I conclude my prayer with my tashahud, my salam, and my three takbirat, the purpose of the salah is that I become a changed person from that salah. That I stand up from that salah and I become a better human being. The salah has produced the fruits within the heart. That is what thawab is. The thawab has taken shape in my heart. So that when I stand up from the musalla, walk back into my place of work, walk back into my family, back into my community, the salah has embedded itself within my heart, so it takes manifest within my heart. Otherwise, where is the thawab of the salah in the first place? Thawab is not those bags of deeds that are found there. The truth, the first truth of thawab and reward is that which is found within my heart. It is expressing itself within my character. That I grow as a human being day after day after day in order for me to become a complete human being. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sallam. Let no 2 days of yours be the same thing. He whose 2 days are the same, you're in a state of loss. It is supposed to be a trajectory of growth. Thawab is that production of growth within myself, within my heart. Thus, go back to the hadith. Rasulullah said on Thursday night, he who performs good deeds, there will be multiple thawab produced. And he who produces evil deeds, it will produce multiple punishments. So what does this hadith mean? It means that Thursday night is a sanctified night. Let me put it to you this way. On the night of Qadr, it's a sanctified night, correct? It's a beautiful, most spiritual night of the year. Would you come on Laylatul Qadr and perform a sin? Why not? Because you know on Qadr night, your whole year is going to be decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True or not? We know our health, our wealth, our family, all of those different tawfiqat are going to be decided for us. Which person would come on the night of Qadr and perform a sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that particular night? It means that on a Thursday night, if I have the audacity to be able to perform a sin on Thursday night, my heart is so bad, it's like receiving a multifold of punishments within my heart. The distance between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is growing. That's the punishment between me and Allah. If reward, thawab, is proximity to God, then true punishment is nothing other than distance between me and God, true or not. This is why in Da'a Kumail, the commander of the faithful says, I fear not your fire of hell. I don't fear your fire of hell. I fear a distance from you, my Lord. The fire of hell, you have decided it. If you have decided it, then so be it. What I fear is having a distance from you and not being in proximity to you. The greatest fear of the commander of the faithful was distance between him and Allah. That was punishment in the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib. How should I see punishment? In the same way, Rasulullah says, if you perform good deeds, you receive multiple rewards on the Thursday night. Why? Because just like there are sanctified nights, and you wouldn't come on Yawm al-Ashura, and you wouldn't come on Yawm al-Arafah,